Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Apparently it's a funky football Friday here in the Loop.
Oh yeah,
Sports
no
Radio
idea.
610. I love this. We're just gonna keep this going
every Friday, man.
You still haven't played my favorite song. You will. You know which one it is.
Which one is it?
So apparently he doesn't know which one.
Apparently
it is.
He doesn't.
Are we gonna have to have a post show meeting? And
yeah, well, I'll be in there in a minute. I'll okay. be in there during the break. I believe it's my cameo, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
I like what you're doing here. I like where we're going.
Yeah.
But yeah, Funky Football Friday is what we're going to call it here. In the Loop, John P. Lopez, mm-hmm. Figgy Fig, I'm Reginald Adetulu. Thanks for hanging out
call
with us.
Call me Johnny. No, I'm just kidding.
You said, don't call you Johnny or do said, call you? Okay. All right, excellent. Hey, man, who could be and who's most likely to be traded off of this Texans squad? Because CBS Sports had a thought. They put together a list of the 10 NFL players who could be traded next. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as we are heading to that time period where teams are trying to finalize their rosters, make some, you know, final preseason roster moves in order to get themselves perfectly set up for week one in the season. And we know with this team, there are some places where you have an abundance and some places where maybe a guy doesn't fit what you're trying to do. And so I know that there's definitely some people that could shift, but CBS Sports put together this list, as I mentioned, and there is one, a Texan on it, and two, a person of interest.
Well, I don't know about that second part.
Okay.
I think it's interesting.
Okay, fair enough.
There's a lot of things interesting about this list, and one of the reasons I wanted to kick it around with you, first of all, there's some really obvious ones. You know, 10 players that could be traded. Kenny Pickett, Trey Lance.
Where is Kenny Pickett right now?
Because I remember Taylor Heineke. He's in Philly.
Okay, because I was like, I know they didn't keep him around in Pittsburgh.
Like, some of these are no duh. You know, like Malik Willis,
Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, well, that's the second part that was funny to me. I was like, no kidding.
Can he be traded? Well, the way that it's been going, I don't know that he can be traded. Funny enough.
Well, that's true. Maybe he's not. Maybe this is going to be. But anyway, I was like, oh really? Brandon Ayuk might be traded, huh? Okay. But then the third thing comes to the Houston Texans. Because frankly, like, there's a lot of guys that can get traded.
Yes.
Like, there are a lot. I mean, Damien Pierce might get traded.
Yeah, and it would make a lot of sense because the thing that we've kept talking about is within this zone running concept, right, he just hasn't seemed to have the eye for it.
Yeah.
Right? And look, you can have the speed, you can have the brawn, even though I think Seth has talked a little bit about how he does not seem to have the same power that he once had.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have all those things, but if you are not, you know, and I'm not trying to call him football dumb or whatever, right? Like, that's what, but if he does not seem to be applying the vision properly to what's needed here. And so as opposed to hitting the hole or hitting the gap or bouncing or knowing where he's running into the back of, you know, linemen.
Yeah.
That's not going to be effective no matter how fast you're running or how strong you're running. That's not the way this goes. And so he did better in a gap running scheme and a different scheme form. And so it just feels like a change of scenery is one of those things where it might be beneficial for
him. Yeah, no, he's definitely one that could be traded, and you're not wrong. Nobody, it just doesn't fit him. Some people are good at math. Some people are good at science. This offense is science. He's good at math. I need to get there as quickly as possible. You know, shortest distance between 2 points, that kind of thing.
Now you're adding different kind of variables.
Yeah,
the calculus shifts.
The science of the outside, you know, cuts and zones and all. He's just not good at it. It's not a condemnation of his abilities.
Or him as a person, obviously.
Yeah, but he's not the one that's on the list. And the one that's on the list, I think, is very interesting, and that's Robert Woods. Robert Woods, he's done everything in the league. He's not old. He's a veteran, but he's not old. And I think it's telling, you know, that they have some very obvious names on this list. And I started thinking, Robert Woods might be the most obvious choice at this point. Think about it. Probably get more for Robert Woods than anybody else that might be traded.
Sure.
Right?
Because you know he can work in a lot of different places, and you know what you can get from him. He's been a pretty stable wide receiver.
He's been there, done that in every way. He's got the pelts on the wall, pretty good name. So you can get the most out of him. And then the obvious thing is I'm not sure that he's a fit. Not like Damian Pierce, where he just doesn't get it, but there's just maybe not a spot for him. Given that the upside of these younger guys is probably going to be a little more tempting for Nick Caserio to stick with than a 32-year-old receiver who's clearly good, who clearly helped this team last year. But I think Robert Woods might be candidate number one for me.
Yeah, and I also don't know that he has like a particular niche. Like when you have mm-hmm. so much talent, at that point, I think that's when maybe specialization comes into factor. Yeah. Like who's the fast guy? Who's the route runner guy? What additional value can you add?
Yeah.
And he seems like kind of a jack of all trades type wide receiver where he kind of does all the things that you mm-hmm. need sufficiently enough. But I don't know that he's like one of those guys that's does any one thing incredibly. And when you have so much talent in that wide receiver spot, mm-hmm. I don't know that there's anything you're looking at where you go, yeah, we need that thing in particular. So, yeah, he seems like he is a guy that could be on the outs there, but he's not the only one in that wide receiver room. That's the thing that I find interesting.
No.
Like, there's a few other ones that you could point to. You go, maybe he goes. Plus, in addition to the fact that Robert Woods' payroll is probably the highest of any of these other guys on in the wide receiver
room. Yeah, absolutely. I think Noah Brown is on that list.
Yeah,
and he's kind of quickly became a fan favorite last year. Had some really huge games.
Oh, yeah, you have some big games.
Yeah, and also he's just a really likable enough guy, tough guy, all that stuff. But he's only 27, and he's got, speaking of pelts on the wall, he's got 6 years in the league. He's had some, relatively big seasons. I'm looking at value on these wide receivers because nobody doesn't like or want Noah Brown and Robert Woods on this squad.
Right. If you had unlimited roster space, I think basically all these dudes.
Yeah.
Because, you could even get down to the guys that we're not talking about on the bubble, and that's with no animus to them. Mm-hmm. Quintez Cephas, seen him make plays.
Cephas, our guy. He looked pretty good.
Right.
He did.
Johnny Johnson's made a play or two here or there, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's dudes that you can go even down the list on, and you can say, hey, you like these guys. They've done things, but unfortunately, you have to cut down to a certain roster size.
Yeah. So, Ben Skowronek. Now, he won't get the value, I don't think. He was going to get cut. And the Texans said, hey, we'll throw you a seventh or whatever it was.
And he's already been out there very recently for teams to go and try and get. But I don't know if there's going to be more clamoring for him.
It'll just be a situation like the Texans got him. Yeah, okay, we'll throw you a seventh because we can kind of use it. Whatever, we have an injury. But if I had to choose, and this is not something I would have thought before training camp started, do you want to keep Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson? Or if it came down to either or, do you want to keep Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson or Noah Brown and Robert Woods? I think I might stay with Mechie and Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Is weird.
You might err on the side of, where the NFL in general has gone, err on the side of youth.
Right? Yeah, building. See, that's what's weird about it. I think they can legitimately step in and play those roles where, like, if this was a team, hey, man, we fancy ourselves AFC championship contender. Generally speaking, you'd probably say, well, we want Noah Brown and Robert Woods.
Yeah, because more known commodities or what have you.
But I'm not there. I think I'd go Hutchinson and Mechie at this point.
And those guys are, Hutchinson especially, he's mm-hmm. somewhat of a known commodity to this team. Like, mm-hmm. you've seen him make good plays and big plays for you. You just hope that you can get more of those for this team. Mechie is the one that's a little bit more developmental, but or more projecting, I guess is the word that I'm going to use, not necessarily developmental. But even then, you've seen some good signs, and I think we talked about it earlier. He's mm-hmm. going to be one of those guys that you hope that he's stacking good plays on top of each other because you haven't gotten enough of those necessarily overall. But yeah, those are both guys that are capable. The high watermark is one that you'd be really happy with mm-hmm. On both of them. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
There might be some guys on the defensive side that you could conceivably.
It's funny. We got so locked in on the Damian Pierce and the wide receivers that I it feels like the only thing I look to the defense and think about is like, ooh, the depth on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Derek Barnett, there might be a spot either here or somewhere else that people, he showed a few things last year. Jerry Hughes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to get a third round. I'm just saying, like, if you can get something for these guys that may or may not even make, you know, your roster, only because of a numbers game, not because of production. Like, there might be some things out there on the defensive line.
I do want to go. This text comes in from the 832. They said they see Mechie as a backup to Tank, Hutchinson as a backup to Nico, and Woods as a back. Woods and Brown, rather, are fighting for the last spot as Diggs is backup. And I think that in that point, we're forgetting a player, aren't we? Like, we're forgetting Steven Sims.
Yeah.
And it seems like Steven Sims is pretty solid, if for no other reason, that's the return guy.
I'd be very surprised if he didn't make the squad.
Right.
Not shocked, but he's been the only guy that's consistently ran number one with the kickoffs.
Yeah.
And he's done some punts.
Yeah, he's still a punt guy as well.
And he can receive. I mean, and he can step in. I'd be surprised, you know, shocked you can't be because it's such a deep room. But I'd be surprised if he didn't make this squad. So there's a spot for Steven Sims already. There are basically four spots spoken for.
I think so.
Those three guys and
special
and Sims.
Teamers, special yeah. teams, mm-hmm. Steven Sims. But yeah, back to your defensive point. Which one of the defenders that you do feel like is most likely to end up in that potential trade situation? Because I mean, I don't know that I feel as strongly about any of the defenders maybe being traded as clearly the Dameon Pierce mm-hmm. or one of the wide receivers. Making that, or if you're so fortunate, maybe two of those. Maybe you can kind of figure out that wide receiver room just entirely using the, you know, the trade market to get yourself settled there.
Well, I keep going back to Ali Gay, and most people listening to us are saying, who?
Yeah, number 90
number
in your program,
90,
number one in your heart.
Looks the part, has played the part, has gotten some reps with the first team when Will Anderson wasn't in. And from the early part of training camp, I was like writing him off. Like I'm like, that's a good looking player right there. He's making the plays, big dude, long, has been around a little bit. But I'm like, nah, you know, nah, he ain't gonna make it because look at the depth at the position. And then they brought in Jerry Hughes and they have Derek Barnett and all that. I would not be surprised at this point if Ali Gay made this team. And so that gives you. That gives you a little bit more, you know, look at Jerry Hughes and Derek Barnett and what they're going to end up doing with those players. So I think anything's on the table at this point at the end position.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that that's a good evaluation of it. And, of course, we've listed a whole bunch of names. Like, there's only so many trades that you're going to be able to make in this instance, right? Other teams are also cutting down. And they often have a lot of players that they like. So the idea that they're going to go and try and grab another player to make this cut down more mm-hmm. difficult for them is not often something that's huge. But especially at a place where you have strength, where you talk about wide receiver or a running back where you have a dude who, you know, could have more value elsewhere. Those ones mm-hmm. are clearly positions where.
Where does Desmond King fall in all this?
That's a good one because I don't know what to make of Desmond King. He used to be a return dude or option. He's a dude that you looked at as possibly a starter in your defensive backfield, mm-hmm. and I don't know that either of those things.
No, like two different players got his job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, I have no idea what mm-hmm. where Desmond King is to be.
And again, we're not saying
honest.
Fourth rounder or third rounder. We're just saying, like, in terms of roster and
getting something.
Getting a little
right?
something back, you know?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I just, Desmond King has not existed in my brain. That is wild, wild. My apologies to Mr. King himself. But yeah, some potential trade guys, mm-hmm. that's definitely going to be something to watch this weekend. And as we move towards Tuesday, the cut down, the 53 man cut down deadline. Yeah, I'm super excited to watch that because you have the game tomorrow. 12 noon here on Sports Radio 610. You'll get pregame at 9 a.m.
Yeah, you will.
With Payne and Pendergast. But after the game, like, all bets are off. Like, that's when moving and shaking happens.
We're going to start getting reports probably Sunday. It won't be right after the game.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday when we're back on air again. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to start seeing the effects of whether cuts or possibly, you know, trade scuttlebutt.
And rest assured, we're going to have a few, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
You know?
You think we're going to have oh, no.
Oh, for sure.
Did they really? Oh, no.
Just on a personal level, there's
he
something.
He didn't make it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the business, man. Every year, you're going to lose some folks that mm-hmm. you liked. But the thing that's nice is when you're losing a whole bunch of dudes that you liked, it means that you have a roster that is put pretty well together and that you have a lot of guys that you keep that you're keeping that you like. as well. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Figgy, what we got in Figgy's mixtape?
Man, I got to put my man Reggie.
Oh, there we go.
To the test.
All right.
When it comes to music, in honor of this R&B artist, pretty much saying somebody then passed the GOAT.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We'll do that next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Got my interest.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. Happy Friday, fellas. And look, It's Friday. We know Reggie started on Monday.
Oh, God.
I got to get used to this now.
No, you don't.
Say whatever works, man. Yeah. Say whatever works.
So we know we started this new show on Monday. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this is probably the first time I never really got to know Reggie as much as I should. I usually ask people their music takes and stuff like that just to kind of get a feel for their personality.
Sure. Okay.
And we never dabbled. I think the one time I asked Reggie anything about music was who won between Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
And if you have an answer other than Kendrick Lamar, you lying to yourself.
You can't be trusted.
Like, you can still like old dude, and that's fine, but you're not going to lie to yourself and say that he won that.
Exactly. So I want to put Reggie to the test right here, and I'm going to play this clip. So R&B artist Tank was on with Stephen A. Smith, and he said, who is better than the GOAT?
What did you say about Chris Brown compared to Michael Jackson?
Chris Brown is, in fact, better than Michael Jackson.
What? Do you understand what you're saying? Tank, do you understand what you're saying, my man? Chris Brown is special, but better than Michael Jackson, 13-time Grammy Award winner. Michael Jackson, the Thriller, the highest selling album of all time. That Michael all Jackson. Time.
Things evolve, my brother.
He said things evolve. I want to get your thoughts.
They haven't evolved.
I just absolutely love that Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people that are like, oh man, he's just doing it on TV. No, that's how he is. Because that was him on First Take, except not, because he was doing the exact same thing. Like, I was expecting him to be like, now don't get me wrong, Chris Brown is a dear friend. However,
he's a brother of mine.
Yeah. We have coffee every Thursday. But I cannot believe. No, I'm just like,
what do you think of that statement,
from
a music standpoint?
I can't get with it. And, like, I also have to be very clear, like, in order to be transparent here, Chris Brown is not, like, I don't love the Chris Brown. Like, he is pretty good at what he does. He's a dance-ass dude, mm-hmm. and he does it pretty damn well, right? But Chris Brown isn't my cup of tea necessarily. He is good at what he does. It's just really hard. It's really hard to have him come for Michael Jackson, especially when you consider, like, the incredible production that Michael Jackson had when you talk about Quincy Jones. And then also, like, the vocal production that Michael Jackson was doing himself, right? The stories that we have had, yes. And maybe it's just, like, the myth that we've built over time of, like, the ways in which he's composing a song, even though he's not a musician necessarily. Like, when I talk about instrumentalist, mm-hmm. right? He's singing the parts to all the parts because he knows exactly how he wants it to sound, and he gets to that place. Plus, then we get to, like, the celebrity of it all.
Yeah.
It's just hard to knock down that level of myth, that level of legend with Chris Brown, who, you know, has plenty of warts in there as well. His good music and such.
I was thinking, you know, Chris Brown is like flag football guy compared to Patrick Mahomes. That's the comparison to me.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. You're a flag football guy.
All right.
Hey, Michael Jackson, it's tough to get on Michael's level, man. That's how I always look at it.
The 100%. Only one who has is Taylor Swift. It's true.
We had this argument so many times. We ain't got to go.
No, it's true. And I'm the biggest Michael Jackson fan of all time.
I will plead the fifth.
Yeah. You said get on his level, Taylor Swift.
You know, I'm going to put both of y'all to the test at this point.
It's my first week, man. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to do, man. It's my first week.
Yeah. He's biting his tongue. No, the reality, it's hard to accept that reality. It's hard for me to accept that reality. But in terms of pop icon in the top 0.1%, there's Michael Jackson and there's Taylor Swift. They're both in that top 0.1%.
So they're in the same sentence.
Yes. In terms of that characterization. You don't have to like one versus the other.
No, I hear you.
But in terms of where they are, she's at that level.
But see, that's I ain't want to get into this.
Yeah, because we got other things to do.
You know I'm a fisherman, man. I can reel them in.
The bait is out there.
I can reel them in.
There's absolutely more things to get into. But like, one of the tough things about it is also we have to consider, and no pun intended, I just realized that it's going to be that, the different eras that we're talking about here.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Like, Michael Jackson was doing this in an era where, like, the free flow of information is not nearly at the level of this one.
No, that's fine.
And in some ways, you could say that there's also kingmakers that could be made in that way, right? Like, there's more of a monoculture. Yeah. So that, I guess you could say that's a benefit in his way. But yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not here to, you know, deny that she is worldwide and has, like, a giant scope. It almost feels blasphemous to compare that to Michael Jackson. And maybe that's my issue here.
And by almost, he means it feels blasphemous.
Yeah. So I want to put y'all to the test. You could join, too.
I got my answers already marked. All right. I marked up the doc.
All right. Michael Jackson or Prince?
I want to say I'm a Prince guy. I think I might be a Michael Jackson guy. I like both of them quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
Mike Jack was played in my house.
Yeah.
But when I learned about Prince, like when I did my research about Prince, I really rock with this here.
This is the closest argument of all of them. Like, Prince is, come on.
Yeah, no.
But it still is Michael Jackson by a smidge.
Yeah, nah, it's close. Tupac or Biggie?
This is a fun one because I feel like Houston, when we talked about like that West Coast, East Coast time, mm-hmm. I feel like Houston got grafted into the West Coast side of this. And maybe I'm talking to Mike Easter, y'all tell me, but it feels like, you know, and so when I was younger in Houston, I was like, Tupac. As I've gotten older, it's Biggie.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, too, because Scarface has a song with Tupac. He worked mm-hmm. with Tupac. Mm-hmm. So I guess by default, he was rolling with Pac.
Yeah, I just absolutely love, like, Tupac is a lot about how he makes you feel. And that's like, that's incredible. Like, Biggie, there's just something there. I think the depth of like some of his music making, while he was an incredible, you know, rapper and everything, but you knew what Bad Boy did to like make the persona, but then you heard the depth of what was underneath that.
Yeah.
Like, that resonates with me so much more as I've gotten older.
Yeah, I'm Biggie as well.
Biggie.
Okay. I have my marked out. He knows what my answers are.
All right. Swisher House or Screwed Up Click? I don't know. I know you're kind of young, but which one are you rolling with? What crew?
Swisher House.
Swisher House.
Yeah. Okay.
3 for 3, man. We're
okay. Yeah. Okay. No Limit or Cash Money? We're going to go to New Orleans.
This one I bounce back and forth on. I'll go with Cash Money.
New Orleans. No Limit. Yeah. No Limit. Okay.
Yeah. We're just trying to match. You're just trying to match is what we're doing here. We're playing match game.
Yeah.
All right. This is the big question right here. Do you still listen to R. Kelly?
I do not. I'm out. Here's my thing with R. Kelly, right? The things that he was doing, he got it into music.
Oh, yeah.
How I feel, man, because some of the songs on there, I just can't hear it the same anymore, man.
Like, especially he called himself the Pied Piper of R&B. Do you know what the Pied Piper is? It was a dude who came through, like, in a folk story, like, came through the town,
right.
played his pipe,
and lured all the children away.
Yeah, yeah. How am I supposed to listen to that?
Yeah.
And how am I supposed to happy people? Yeah. Like, no! I can't dance to this!
My answer to that is if it's on.
Okay.
If it's on, I ain't putting it on. But I've heard, you know, you walk around, you hear, it's good. Yeah. It's really good. But
for the most part, I don't really listen to him as much. But it is a couple songs. Like, he has some songs with Ronald Isley.
Yeah.
That's fire, man. That I still go to that one.
Yeah. I understand what you mean. I try not to judge people, and I do use the word try there. I try not to judge people who decide, because, like, hey, everybody's got to draw their line. I'm still out here listening to Miles Davis, and that was a wild woman beater in his own day, right?
Okay.
I'll still bump some of James Brown, and he had his issues as well. Like, everybody draws their line. That one in particular is just like, I can't
do that. I can't do that.
All right, so I'll get you out of here on this one. What's your go-to genre of music, not name hip-hop with R&B?
This is a good question, and I think the answer has to be jazz in various fashions. Like, I'll listen to fusion. I'll definitely listen to smooth jazz. There's a lot of different, like, acid jazz in particular.
Dang.
I'll get into
you
a good
jazzy
play.
Guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Funny enough, like, I grew up, like, locally there was a jazz station. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to that, like, doing homework and stuff, but I like a lot of stuff. Like, I did mention, like, yacht rock and stuff is what I'll get into, and like some other rock spaces as well. Funk is a big one as well.
You're talking,
but
language.
Like, we go funk and we go like real rhythm and blues, as opposed to kind of like where we've seen R&B tracks to.
Yeah,
I'm in on as well. So like, there's a lot of different things, and funk and R&B would have been another easy one to throw in there. Especially because you can see like the sampling influences, and jazz and funk both have those sampling influences in R&B, so it's an easy kind of alleyway between both of those as well.
Okay, I think I learned a lot about you.
Ooh,
now.
Oh boy, there's some people that are mad that I said Swish House. For me,
that's
personally.
Hey, we got some OGs on the text line, man, that grew up on that Screwed Up Click, man.
I hear you, and I'm not saying that I don't like Screwed Up Click. I just he gave me a one or the other kind of proposition here. don't hate me is all I'm saying.
All right, Figgy's mixtape. I can't talk. On Sports Radio 610 on a Friday. So, speaking of R&B, Tyrese Gibson, who's an R&B singer / actor, was on The Breakfast Club. Actually gave a really good interview.
Okay.
And I want to know from y'all, did he take it too far with this comment? So, he was on there. He was kind of giving, pretty much dropping some gems. He was pouring his heart out in the interview. And he made this weird comment, and the whole room just lost it. I want to know if he took it too far with this comment.
None of this jewelry on my arm is real. Don't love me because of no diamonds. Take all this. This bracelet right here was $23 on Amazon.
Are those earrings real?
No. You know why it's not real? Because I've lost so much of this. I just spent $500,000 on the. I called Jacob the jeweler. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I don't lose no sleep over trying to win the popularity contest from showing up with all this jewelry that I'm going to leave on a nightstand and have a housekeeper to say, I don't know. I'm sure you don't know. I'm sure you don't know what them $250,000 $250,000 earrings is at. I don't know. We looked everywhere. I'm sure you looked everywhere. That mother tired 2 weeks later.
Did he take it too far with
only
that?
With the accent?
Yeah, you didn't have to do. But you know what? The one reason why I might kind of, and look, I'm not in a position to give him a pass, so I'll acknowledge that up front. Is that didn't sound like a generalization. That sounded like he dealt with a specific person.
Oh, he was very specific.
He gave us specific numbers on the amount. He was just recreating a moment. In fact, he was into that moment because they were asking him a question. And I felt like he was dealing with Vietnam flashbacks in that moment.
I'll tell you what, he had me until that. He had me. I was like,
he's
making a good
point.
He
was spitting.
He's making a really good point.
Do it look good?
If you don't have to, you know how you know you have a lot of money? You don't have to show that you have a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, and he was one of those guys. But he lost me.
When he said,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real person that was a particular person that he was mad at in that moment.
I don't know.
Mad
again.
Nevertheless.
Yeah.
All right. So another one, man. So I ran across this clip not too long ago, but you guys like sushi, right?
Oh yeah.
I'll do sushi. Yeah. I haven't fully explored all the boundaries. Like I will stick to the safer waters. Like I'll dip my
California
toe in
roll.
California roll, that stuff from tempura. But like, I need to. I'm gonna dip further into that space. But I do like sushi, at least in the very low end.
So when y'all go to a sushi restaurant, what kind of music do you expect to hear inside of a sushi restaurant?
I'm trying to think.
Good question.
I think it has varied. I've got two sushi places that we go to pretty regular. It almost is like kind of like a radio station soft rock or something like that. That's about all I can remember.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that, because this clip I'm about to play is from the the cartoon from the 90s, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
And in this clip, he was at a sushi restaurant for the first time trying sushi. And I want to know, did they take it too far with the music they had playing in this background?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's yep. all I needed. Yep. I can name that tune in yep. two notes. I can,
So, Doug, now you got your chopsticks.
Yeah.
What kind Terrible. Of sushi
yeah.
are you going to eat,
That's
huh?
crazy.
Yeah.
I'll have whatever you're having.
Yeah, that's...
That would be the takanori walla walla bing bang.
Nah.
What? Come on now.
Fish? Like fried fish sticks?
That's the animated version of Therese Gibson.
Did they take it too far with
yes.
that music?
Yes, they
I
did.
I couldn't believe it. It's funny because I used to watch Doug as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't remember that episode. Yeah. I'm like, man, why would they
right.
do that?
It's amazing how much like we thought we were so enlightened, especially yeah. racially, in the 90s. And you look back and you're like, we were wilding. Wow, what?
We were racist.
We were wilding out there, man.
If I was if I was over there in Asia and seeing that, I'm like, man, I'm never going to America.
Yeah, but if look, and I'm not saying that it was right again. If they wanted to get mad at when we had bad Asian stereotypes, yes. they'd have stayed mad all damn time, man. Oh my God.
They would have stayed mad, that's for sure.
We good, Figgy? Got anything else in the mixtape?
One more thing. I'm
Let's
gonna get
go.
on a lighter note or a lighter note. Have your parents ever came up to your job just to kind of see you work?
That's a good question. I don't think they have, no.
I'm kind of disqualified for that. My dad died by the time I really got, you know, going, and my mom was in San Antonio, so I would send her clips, yeah. okay, but yeah, but never really come to the job.
Yeah, so I ran across this clip from a reporter who was on the street getting ready to do his job, and then his mother decided to drive by in the car to see her baby work.
Is it this is my mom, hold on. I'm trying to work right now. You over there calling my phone. This is D'Angelo. You can say hi. And don't be holding up traffic because you got cars behind you. Did you record that?
I like that. So, but this is something my mother would do.
That is precious.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, you know what? I love that when it's not me. Yeah. Like, that's the thing is when you were the one being embarrassed. But like,
that's my boy.
What's hilarious is
that's
that
my boy.
I know that I don't feel like that person. It's embarrassing for that person if I'm watching their parent. I'm just like, yo, that's cool. You can tell that she's got a lot of love for you.
Yeah.
But if it's my parent, I'm like, yo, calm down.
Get out of here.
Move along.
Yeah. No, I can see my mother 100% doing that.
That's awesome.
I think my mom would play pretty cool. I'm happy to say that. Although I haven't seen it tested out. We'll see. All moms turn into moms in those moments, don't
Everybody
they?
Everybody at the senior center in San Antonio knew everything about me.
my mother, she'll call once in a while. What radio station you work at again? Where can I listen to it?
Yeah.
I've gotten that question multiple times this week, and I don't think that they've listened yet. I still don't think.
My mom do not listen. My father listens. Shout out to my dad. He listens every
almost
day,
every
man.
Day, right?
Yeah, man.
All right, Pops, what's up?
Yeah.
There you go. In the loop, little... Figgy's mixtape here mm-hmm. in the loop on Sports Radio 610. One more segment to go before we hand it off to the drive. Coming up next, who did you fanboy over when you had the opportunity to meet them? Obviously, in our business, we get a chance to meet some folks as well. But for you, 713-572-4610, who did you fanboy over? We'll discuss it next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Oh, yeah, this is one of the mic jams. Baby Be Mine, mm-hmm. incredible. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Friday, funky football Friday, before we get you ready for Texans-Rams. That'll happen tomorrow. Noon is when that one kicks. 9 a.m. is when pregame gets started right here, Sports Radio 610. We're about to cross and hand over to the drive here shortly. But before we do that, who did you totally fanboy over when you met him?
Yeah.
713-572-4610.
Well, this is based off of CJ Stroud pretty much fanboying with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He had the great pleasure of meeting a dude that he respects incredibly highly as a player. And especially he respects him in that age where it's easy to kind of idolize
wide-eyed.
Somebody. Yeah, man.
He was wide-eyed.
And so he
talked about it yesterday.
And Stafford talked about it a little bit too on the other side in his availability, how, you know, gave a lot of respect, a lot of deference to CJ and his abilities. And so, yeah, that was, you could tell. He said that he didn't fanboy too much in his, but he, I mean, you could tell that this is a dude that he likes
big
really
time
a lot. And I know the morning show kind of played that audio from the podcast.
Where he was talking about.
He was talking about.
The second best, or whatever he said he was.
He views Stafford as one of the best quarterbacks that he's had an opportunity to see. Loves the way that he plays. And so it makes sense, right? It makes sense that C.J. Stroud, a student of the game, would have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
And so he had an opportunity to, you know, meet him, spend a little bit of time, talk with him, and kind of exchange ideas. But yeah, that got you thinking who had you in that place.
And I'm interested in you and Figgy too, because most of these, like the fanboy moments, have something to do with your youth. I think that's CJ Stroud.
That's a good point.
You know, it had something to do with you, because like I've been in a position, you know, incredibly lucky, where I've met a bunch of, you know, so-called superstars or legitimate superstars and a bunch of, you know, big time athletes and stuff. But the three that came immediately to mind were because of my youth. When I met them and interviewed them, I was just like, wow, I'm talking to Paul Newman.
Yeah, man.
I interviewed Paul Newman. It was actually when they had the open wheel F1 race here in Houston back in the day, and he had a team. You know, Paul Newman was a racer.
Got you.
An open wheel racer. And I actually got invited to, well, I asked for to write a column about Paul Newman. I got invited into his camper, so I got to sit down with him like good 45 minutes just talking everything. And I, the whole time I'm there like, talking to Paul Newman, man. Like this guy was, you know, legendary actor, legendary, you know, everything, has his own sauce, his own salad dressing,
right?
And all that stuff, and was into racing big time. So he was one. The other two, I mean, come on. I think it was like 1989. It was the Miami Florida State game. Like Dion was still there,
yeah,
and all of that, and I had lunch with Keith Jackson.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I was just like trying to act cool, you know how you try to,
right?
Act,
like, like it doesn't matter to me, but it
ain't
does.
No big deal. But I'll have lunch with you. I mean, come on. And I was just the whole time I was like, Keith Jackson, man, this
that's
is
dope.
That's pretty badass. And then the other one's more industry related. I was covering my first Masters. I believe it was 90, help me out, golfers, 91 when Ian Woosnam won. And I was sitting on the terrace. This sounds so rich problems, you know.
Yes,
I was sitting on the terrace of Butler Cabin.
Indubitably.
and Dan...
He passed a great poupon.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. It was exactly that. So I was sitting on the deck of Butler Cabin with Dan Jenkins. And it was so fast. Dan Jenkins, one of the greatest writers in the history of writing.
Yeah.
You know, all these great stories. And the most memorable thing about that is he had been to the Masters so many times. He knew everything going on the course by just the crowd noise he was hearing. He's like, oh, Greg Norman must have birdied number 5. Because he knew where the crowd noise was coming.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, I checked later. I was like, damn it, Greg Norman birdied
that's
number 5.
That, yeah, when someone has that level of command over their craft, it's incredible. And, yeah, I mean, that's what C.J. Stroud, like, he was fanboying not because, like, this, not because just, like, the celebrity, but, like, because he respected the work so much. And I relate to that as this past year I got to cover the NBA Finals, right?
Okay.
And so being a huge NBA nerd, right, a lot of the people whose work I respect and revere, I got to meet a lot of them over the course. So there was various those, and during the course of the playoff run, one of the ones that I got to meet immediately came to mind for me, and it was I think it was one of these games. I think it was the Mavs were playing the Timberwolves, and I was there, and you know, sometimes the media gets to sit kind of close to some various visiting scouts or whatever. And so there was this one scout sitting over there, and he was cool, man. He was over there chopping it up. Like, some scouts are head down, writing their notes, doing what they got to do. He was cool. He was chopping it up, having a blast. And so during the course, you know, you kind of end up in a conversation and, you know, go to introduce myself. I'm like, you know, Reggie Latitula. And he's like, Mario Ellie.
Oh, man, Mario?
Man.
All right.
Right? Like, you know, my mom came here in 88, right?
Yeah.
Like, and she... the legends of you know, all the Houston sports and Houston you know, Rockets and all those things, because you know, I love me some basketball. So like, Mario Ellie is somebody that we talked about in my house.
All right.
And so, like, getting a chop. And then what was nice for me is that I didn't have an opportunity to, like, fanboy because, like, I didn't meet him as Mario Ellie. I met him as
a scout.
This scout who was cool that we were talking hoops with and was, like, meeting me on a professional, like, even level.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden I found out, like, oh, yeah, that's the dude that hit that shot.
I was a big, big fan.
Yeah, yeah. So that was one of the ones that came to mind immediately for me. On the text line from the 832, they said they met Miss Lady Tina Marie.
Tina Marie.
They met Tina Marie. That's awesome. And then a 346, another singer, they met Mary Wilson and Willie Nelson.
All right.
Are a couple of ones that they hit up.
Who'd you fanboy over, Figgy?
Man, honestly, when I first got the Sports Radio 610, you know, if you didn't know, I was like a low-key closet Patriots fan.
Mm-hmm.
And when
I'm sorry about that, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
When I got here, it was the afternoon show. And I'm like, is that Ted Johnson that played for the Patriots?
That's him.
Teddy J? I'm like, what? I couldn't believe it. I kind of fanboy over that. I was just like, damn, I can't believe that's the same guy that played for the Patriots.
That's him. And Teddy then, three rings.
Yeah. And then the other one was still sitting in the studio. I was running this show. I was working weekends, running the Heated Conversations with Booker T.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking like, oh, it's probably some national show or something like that. And then it was a Saturday where he actually came in studio and did the show live.
Yeah.
I was like, Booker, that's Booker really Booker T.
Man. Man.
I'm like, I actually work here with Booker T. The guy that I tried to act like as a kid and do the spinneroni and all that stuff. I'm like, dang, that's really him. Yeah. And I actually got to work with him a little bit. So
yeah, that was fun.
I kind of fan. And one thing I hate that I didn't do, I never got a picture with him.
Oh, come on.
You should have made that happen.
I was just being too
professional.
Yeah, but I should have got a picture with him, man.
Yeah.
I kind of did that, not necessarily too professional, but when I was younger, I decided, like, I was at a Sam's Club or whatever with my mom, and from, like, across the way, she was like, is that Calvin Murphy?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Calvin Murphy over there. Yeah. Like, she was like, you should go say something to him. I was like, nah, he's shopping. It's cool.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm like, I should have went and said something to Calvin Murphy, man. I want to go meet that dude.
Who'd you fanboy over early in your career when you met him?
In the career.
Or
just at any time.
Like, mine was my career, you know.
Met is, I fanboyed over LeBron, but I couldn't even get close enough to meet him. I wasn't ready. I couldn't get over there. I couldn't get over there. Christian Okoye?
Yes.
Nigerian Nightmare.
He came in. We did like an interview. Mm-hmm. We did like an interview with him, one of the first ones.
We saw him at the draft. Remember? At the bar.
Did we? Oh, yeah, we did. We talked to him. That was a nervous one. That was one of the first ones.
Oh, this is bad. Okay, guys.
Boy, he was a comet, too, man, in terms of how long his career was. How about you? Did you ever fanboy?
I don't think I have, but not because I wouldn't or I'm above it, because I don't think I've ever met anybody that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that, like, it for me. I would have to be one of the big ones. I mean, we'd have to be
like
MJ, Tiger.
Well, that's the other one I didn't mention.
Brady.
Like early in my career, they sent me out to San Francisco and I did a column on Joe Montana.
Yeah, that they
and I was like and that. I was sitting there going, freaking Joe Montana.
Yeah. it would have to be one of those, because I thought I would, because coming up, my dad was a Cowboy fan and my mom was an Oiler fan. So I had a split household, right? And so the Cowboy side was, I was obviously very aware of Emmitt and Troy and all them boys when they were winning Super Bowls, right? Well, I don't know why, but like when I got there, like there never was that dynamic with Troy or Emmitt or any of those guys. So I guess for me, it would just have to be one of them, and I've never had the opportunity. I'd love the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Brett Favre would be one I would probably clinch up a bit.
Yeah.
There's probably a list of about 10 folks that I would and then you've got your show stopping females in the
weird obsession with Diana Taurasi. Yeah, so I would clinch up.
Okay.
I met Beyonce. Ugh. That was
I would clinch up. Beyonce would have me full clinch.
Yeah. She did.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone would have to tell me I met Beyonce, because I guarantee I black out. Guaranteed.
She did.
She
like, you know you met Beyonce, right? What? Tell me about it. That's crazy.
Yeah, that she would did. Be.
There's still a lot.
I'm interested, guys. Where do you fall? Because we were talking about with the NWSL, they have banned or gotten rid of the draft in their league. The idea of like abolishing the draft in any of these sports, is that something that sounds at all feasible for you, or is something that you're like, nah, I'm not feeling that.
I'm not feeling it at all.
I mean, I would feel it if there was an understandable
hard cap,
you know, way of doing it. And I think there could be, because there is something. I mean, it's the only jobs in terms where you come out and you have no choice at all on where you go.
Yeah. I would definitely be in. And then talk about it a little bit here.
And then, like, baseball, you're tied for
seven,
8 years.
Yeah, something like that with arbitration.
When, that's a tad bit unfair.
Depending on when they
ask Kyle Tucker about that. Ask Kyle Tucker about that.
And then, you know, football, like, you know, if like CJ was like, no, I'm hell bent on going to free agency, mm-hmm. like they could get him, what, 7 years?
Yeah. Five plus your two franchise tags.
Adjust some things, yeah, but doing away with, well, that'd be tough for me to. Whatever the alternative would be, I don't know that I'd like it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It'd be hard for me to. And by the way, it's Reg.
Okay.
By the way,
let's go with that. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go with Reggie, but and I got one dude in my world. That's a hard Reggie. Always has been. I don't know why. I've never even had the urge to go Reg, but for whatever reason, I see you and it's a Reg. It's immediately Reg.
Look, I tried not to fanboy when I met Clint Sterner myself, and so I appreciate that he's calling me Reg.
I sensed a little, wow. Son. I sensed it, yeah.
I'm going to start calling your ass Reginald now. You say stuff like that. Fanboy Clint
Sterner. Oh, man. Look, I appreciate you fine fellas. Look, man, you guys can get to Fanboy listening to The Drive. You're listening to KALT, KALT HD2 in Odyssey Sports Station, and The Drive is live.
Where are you from, Russellville?
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.